The title of the talk is this: The Word Became Flesh and Blood and Moved into the Neighborhood. That's it. So I'll sit down. And so we're going to explain a little bit more about what that means. But firstly, we're going to reflect back on a couple of things we spoke about a couple of weeks ago on a community, what a Christian community looks like. We're also going to look at the invitation that God gives us to partake in what he is doing in the church. We're going to look at the whole idea that God wants to activate our gifts, both through our time, through our money, and through the gifts he's given us. We're then going to have a couple of testimonies of what God is doing in the church through different people. And then we're going to close with a DVD, which is going to give you a glimpse of some of the things that we're doing within the community to give people a snapshot. Just sometimes there's a lot of things going on in the church and people are sitting there thinking, I didn't know that was going on. So tonight we're giving you a bit of a window into what God is doing in the community, in the church. So 2 weeks ago we looked at the big picture regarding community and why it exists. And what is it people see when they look into our community? Into our place of work, wherever we are, what is it that people see in us? And the vision of this church is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. So what will people see from the outside when they look in? They'll convince them to be part of what God is doing in this church, or in your churches if you don't belong to this church. And what is it that will convince them to join with us to reach out to the community, to the city, to the nation and beyond? And over the last few weeks, we looked at 4 areas of community that God has called us distinctly to be. The one thing that is distinct about a Christian community is its worship of Jesus and its love for one another. Jesus says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. So the first call of a Christian community is to worship God. It's to worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But the worship of God is not a passive thing. The outworking of our relationship with Jesus is that it makes a difference with the people we live amongst. Because out of our worship of God, we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we've got to learn firstly to do it here, don't we? If we can't do it here, we're not going to be very good at doing it out there. And so God's call for us is to be a worshiping community and learning to outwork that together as we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we learn to serve together, as we learn to walk this out together. The second thing is this: that Jesus prays for a Christian community. He prays for a community that is distinct by its unity and its understanding of who it is and where it's going. It says this. This is Jesus' prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me to their message. And all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and they will be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And so God's prayer is that we will be a unified church, that we'll be unified behind Jesus and going in the same direction. And thirdly, Jesus wants to establish a community in the land. And Jeremiah says this: they will be my people and I will be their God. I'll give them singleness of heart and action, so they will always fear me for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will surely plant them in the land with all my heart and soul. And so God's intention is that we will be a community planted for his glory in this place and this location. He's also planted other churches in the area, but God has specifically called us in this particular location to do his bidding. And finally, what is the 4th thing? Well, the community of God magnifies God's truth. And what do I mean by that? Well, this: in a healthy community, when the people of God come together, it is like the truth is magnified. The body of Christ expresses more clearly who Jesus is and what he is like by the depth and breadth of his church. And so everybody here has a part to play in God's church. Everybody has a part to play in God's community. And we're going to look a little bit, what does that mean, in a sec. And so I'm going to go back to the title, "The Word Became Flesh and Blood and Moved into the Community." So what does that mean? Well, firstly, Jesus came to earth to show us what God is like. And in theological terms, the word is used as incarnation. God became man in order to show us what God was like. He came as a man so that he could completely sympathize with who we are and what we go through. But he also showed us what it's like to walk in the way that Jesus does, and the way he treated each other, and the way he is always compassionate and loving and reaching out. The perfect example of who we aspire to be like. But Jesus came to model to us what it's like to walk this walk out. But God also built his community in order to show the world what God is like. And who's he chosen to do that? Well, he's chosen people like you and people like me. It's good, isn't it? He's called us to show the world what Jesus is like. And so God is calling us as a church to be a community that is to his glory. God is calling us to be a kingdom community where God's rule and reign is driving out the darkness and bringing in his glorious light. Jesus' prayer is this, that his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is calling us to be part of what God is building on earth that reflects something of heaven. And as we follow Jesus and as we walk out the call upon our lives, we begin to point people to what Jesus is like. So Jesus is calling us to be a church, a place of personal growth and transformation. Because none of us have got it yet, have we? We're getting it, we're learning, we're growing in it. But God is so gracious that he wants us to grow and develop and be transformed into his likeness. And guess what? We're transformed as we have to work this out together. We don't always get on, do we? But what do? Well, we have to learn to love each other, work through things. And that's amazingly different often from the way of the world, which divides and rules and things that fall apart, etc., etc. And so the invitation is from God to be part of what he's doing on earth. God's invitation in our particular situation is to be part of what God is doing in Dublin. And God wants to activate our gifts. He wants to activate our time and our money for the service of the kingdom. And God is giving an invitation to each one of us to be part of what he is doing, whether it's in this church or in the churches that God has led you to. So how do we respond to God's invitation? Well, firstly, we've got to leave the past behind. God's invitation is about today. It's to leave the old behind. Jesus says this, and Isaiah says this, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing now, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." So the invitation, firstly, to doing what God is doing is to leave the past behind. Do not dwell on the past, for I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The second invitation is to be people of new wine. You see, new wine is not new wine forever. And so often we're living in what we think is new wine, but it's actually become old. And in the Bible, the analogy of wineskins were used in order to contain new wine. And animal skins were cured and made into wine containers. And at first, they were easy to work with and flexible. And so they made the skins, they cut the skins, and they covered them and cured them so they could be containers for the new wine. But over time, the wineskins get rigid and they lose their ability to expand. And Jesus warns us that you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. because the old wineskins cannot contain the new wine. If you pour new wine into old wineskins, often it begins to leak. So new wine must be put into new wineskins. So the invitation is to leave the old behind and to enter into the new wine which God wants to lead us into. Thirdly, the invitation is to have a bigger picture of what God can do. If you can do it, the vision's too small. So the vision for our church is to take the community, to take the nation, to the city and the nation. That's what we're going to be doing. We can't do that, can we? But God can. And we're going to show a DVD in a little while with a song by Kevin Prosh. And it says, do you think that God can take a nation in a day? Do you think that God can take a family in a day? Do you think God can transform a community in a day? Do you think God can make a difference? Do you think God can do this? Yes, I believe He can. I can't do that. You can't do that. But Jesus can do that. And He invites us to be part of what He is doing. And I believe, we're talking about so often we hear the news in the paper, all the terrible things going on in the world, and we think that's the way it's going to be. It's not. Things can be different. Lives can be different. And we've seen time and time again the power of God to transform people's lives and to snatch them out of situations where they never thought they could ever overcome. That's what God wants us to do, be a community that believes in the power of God to change the unchangeable. So the invitation is to have a bigger vision of what God can do. It says this in Isaiah, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And so God wants us to extend our tents, extend our boundaries, to think of bigger. We don't want small visions, we want a big vision. Jesus said, God said, love the world. It's a big vision, isn't it? And He wants us to be part of what God is doing. And the invitation is also to build the barns for the harvest. It says in Deuteronomy, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He has given you. And so we're building barns and shaping the church for the harvest. We believe Jesus is going to bring many, many people to know Him. And so we're shaping the church little by little to be a place that welcomes people from the outside in. It's a worshiping community. It's a community of transformation. It's a community building teams that are going to be geared towards reaching out to this community, to the nation, etc., etc. So we believe God's going to bring the harvest in. And we're shaping the church. We're going to pray it in, and we're going to be activating what God's called us to do. And we're seeing wonderful things in this church, as we'll see in a minute. And also the invitation is to activate your gifts for God's glory. To take part in what God is doing. And if you turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 14, we're going to quickly fly through the parable of the talents. Then we're going to have some testimonies of people who have activated their gifts. Then we're going to have a DVD showing about what are some of the things God is doing in the community. So we are landing in the one direction. So it says this, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put the money to work and gave 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so this story is, I don't want to put this before you as saying, you know, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, and how terrible, you know, that some people are not doing their talents. What I want to say, this is an encouragement of God wants to release each one of us into the gifting that he's given us. And what's interesting in this story is that it's an analogy where Jesus says that the master is going away on a long journey. This is a period of time, and what he's doing is preparing his disciples, Jesus, that he's going to be leaving them for a period of time. But when he's left them, he doesn't want to leave them doing nothing. He's trained them up in the kingdom, and he wants them to be active in what he's trained them up to do. And what it says here, it says he gives different talents to people according to their ability. And the word talent means two things. In the New Testament, the word talent was referring to a unit of money equivalent to, as they say in the concordance, in those Bible books. Yeah, that's what they're called again? Commentaries. I couldn't get that word. Commentaries. It's about 15 years' labour. So it's actually quite a lot of money. And from that parable, the word talent has been used in the modern day terms to refer to gifts, skills the individual has. So whether it refers to money, gifts or skill, the Lord is looking for return on his investment. And you see, he gives the talent according to the person's ability. So he doesn't just give you something and doesn't realizing you cannot do it. That's the encouraging thing about the Lord. He gives you the talent in which you can flourish. He releases the giftings in his people in which you can do amazing things. And some of you say, I've only got one talent. Well, that's great. Why do you activate it? Why do you use it? You might have 2 talents. Why do you use those? You have 5 talents. You're very busy, but... And so God gives the gift according to their ability. And then he went on his journey, so he left them to get on with it. So one of them took his 5 talents and immediately set to work. We know those kind of people, don't we? They give those straight on with it. Bang, 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 bang. The other person was given 2 talents and immediately he went on and put it into action. But the third man was given 1 talent and what did he do? He buried it in the ground. He did not take hold of what he'd been given and he just wasted it. And then after a while, the master returned and he came, it says this, after a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The same with the man with the 2 talents. He came to the master and he says, look, I've gained 2 more. And his reply equally was said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And so there's a real excitement when the talent had been put into, it had been activated, and the master was delighted in what the return was. But then there's the one who received the 1 talent and did not put it into action. He says, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And his response was, I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And so often it's the fear, isn't it? We're scared. And we project onto God what the master is like, don't we? What Jesus is like. He says, you're a hard man. You harvest where you didn't sow. You scatter seed. And you see, that's not what God's like. See, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us here. And he wants to activate us in the giftings that he's given us so that we can flourish and be the people that he intended us to be. And you see, Jesus wants a return on his investment. He wants us to be people who invest in his kingdom, the kingdom of God. He wants us to invest our time, our talents, our money, so that we can see God's kingdom coming on earth. And what I want to do is just to interview a couple of people now who have, and there's many people in the church who are doing, you know, loads of things are going on here, which I'm always blown away by how many things are going on. It's exhausting when you think about it. But God wants to encourage each one of us to use what God has called us to use. And what we're going to look at this evening is that we're going to be looking particularly at some of the ministries within the community. But I want to be very clear that everybody has different talents and different things that God wants us to do. Some of us, it's not the call to be part of what's going on in the community. It might be to be an influence in where you work. It might be a place where you're working at school. It might be in your local neighborhood. Wherever it is, God wants to use you to bring his love and to bring his kingdom. And so what we want to do is we're going to have a look at a number of things in the church with what people are doing. So firstly, I'm going to invite some people from Esther, which we had on Friday night. We had an Esther meeting. And if I can have the microphone, that's somewhere. Brilliant, Rob, thank you. This is Anne, who heads up Esther. And I just want to And when Anne was invited to run Esther, I think the first thing she said was, probably I don't want to do it. And then when she said she was going to do it, she came up here and wasn't quite sure what to do. And now they had a couple of them. Look at her now. And you see, it's like it just takes time, doesn't it? So do you want to share a little bit about the Esther thing?
Esther is our ministry to women, okay? And we try and have 3 events a year. And we had our last one just there on Friday. And this was the second part of a 3-part series. And it was called Esther, Woman of Excellence, is Confident in where she's going, okay? And we started the evening at about 8 o'clock. We had drinks, we had sweeties, we had chat, and about 8:30 somebody ran down to the chipper and we get chips in, and we had sausage and chips for supper. And then I did a little recap of what we had done the first Esther, and then Kate O'Callaghan spoke, and she took examples from Mary Magdalene about how sometimes as women like Mary, she nearly missed the risen Jesus. And how sometimes as women we can do that as well. For me, what came out of the talk, the most important thing, was the fact that it was a woman who was chosen to see the risen King first and then run to tell others. And I've had so much testimony of women who've come up to me or have said, this is what I got out of the evening. One lady said, I just really enjoyed the fellowship. Somebody said, I want to be like Mary, who ran to tell the good news that Jesus was alive, but I don't have that. Pray with me. I want that. Another lady said, I ummed and I awed all day about would I go, would I not go, would I go, and I went. And the first scripture that Kate used really spoke to her, because that was the scripture that God had given her at the beginning of the summer. So for her, it was confirmation. I should be here. I need to hear this. I need to listen to this. But there's been so much that's come back from that. You know, the fact that God really did put his finger in us women's hearts and say, I want you to think about this. I want you to really change your mind about this and let me work on you in this area. But it was a fun night. The chatting was great. The fellowship was great. The chips were brilliant. Yeah. And it was just a lovely fun night.
Yeah, oh, so. Well done. Thank you. That's okay. Brilliant. So that's very good, isn't it? And that's just very encouraging, isn't it? Seeing what God can do through... We're all very nervous before we start doing this, aren't we? She took hold of it, and look at the fruit of that. And that's just a really exciting thing, what's going on there. So now we're going to have a look at... I think we'll have Sala now, who's going to come and share with us about what she's doing. As she's responding what God had called her to do, and she'll share with it before I ruin it.
Thanks. About 6 years ago, God put this dream on my heart... of starting an after-school project in this local area here, particularly for children who are at risk of early school leaving or who might not get that much encouragement at home with doing their homework or who struggle in school for whatever reason it might be. And so really it's been over the last year and a half that, with a lot of help from CORE, with a lot of help from Dublin City Council and some other groups, that we've developed this Solace After School project, as it's called. And really the vision of Solace is to provide these children with a really loving, caring, like a home-like environment where they can come after school every day, where they can have fun, they can be fed, they can, you know, they get support in their education. And really it's about showing God's love to these children in really practical ways, on like an ongoing basis. And so the project is running now in an area called Basin Lane. It's a flat complex, about 10 minutes walk that way. Basically, what really helped us get going there was the relationship that Kids Club has built there over the last 6 or 7 years of weekly visiting there. So that really helped us, you know, get started there because people already know us and trust us and that. And so basically, we're working with the local girls' primary school there in Basin. And Dublin City Council has given us two flats that they've joined in together to give us a space to run the project. And it's great because it's really close to the school, so all I have to do is go up to the schoolyard and bring the kids in, and just down the road. And after about a year of fundraising, we now have enough funds for at least the first 6 months of the project. And that also has enabled us to employ a project worker to help me run the project. And so we started last Monday, so we've done our first week. And we have 10 great girls in the project. We're starting with quite a small group because the venue is quite small. And basically what we do is we run Monday to Thursday. The children come in at 2:30, straight after school. We have games first, and we have our meal together, a really, you know, nutritious, proper hot meal, and which is really nice time as well of just sitting around talking, you know, talking about the day. Then we basically do homework, so that's where they get help with whatever they need. And then we have a different activity every afternoon, so anything from cooking to swimming to, you know, sports or arts and crafts, and keep it really varied and interesting for them. And then they go home at 6:00 in the evening. So it's a good lot of time we have with the girls. And it's great, even after the first week of running it, to see how the different girls are benefiting from it in different ways. Like for some of them, it's the whole social aspect of it is a big thing, learning to be in a group, learning to relate to each other, to be kind to each other and not bully and all that. And for some of them, it's more the academic end of things. Maybe they struggle with maths or English. For some of them, it's even not struggling with a subject, but it's learning to sit there and concentrate and doing the work and trying to motivate them and get them to see that it's important that they do their homework. And for some of them, it's even the food. You know, they're getting a proper good meal, being able to concentrate then in doing the work. And for some of them, it's all of those things. So it's really exciting what God is doing there.
Yeah.
And I just want to say a big thank you to all of you. I mean, people have been so encouraging. And just a lot of people have already given, through giving their time to come in volunteering once a week or once a fortnight. People have given through their cooking skills, brought us food into the projects. People have donated things that we've needed. So just a big thank you to everybody. And just a special thank you to John and Catherine as well, because they've been really encouraging and supportive through the whole process of getting it up and running. Mm-hmm. And just finally, if I know a lot of people are already involved, but if you want to get involved with this, you can do it in several ways. You can either come in, volunteer, help us on a weekly or fortnightly basis. You can obviously, I mean, prayer is very much appreciated as well. I mean, it is sometimes quite challenging, or often quite challenging. And or, you know, some people actually, it suits them to cook food at home and bring it into the project to us. So there's lots of different ways of getting involved. So if you want to do that, you can either talk to me or email Mary or Kathy in the church, and they'll pass the message on to me.
Brilliant.
So, thanks.
Well, thank you, Sal. That's brilliant. Excellent. And that's an amazing story, Sally. When she came, I remember chatting to me once. She said, I'm thinking of doing a homework club in the community. And I think it's a year and a half ago. And since the idea came to her through prayer, it's now up and running. We've got a building. We've got, I think it's 10 kids. We've got a team. It's just amazing what God does as we respond to his invitation. And that's what all we're doing today is testifying what God's doing within this community. I'm sure he's doing it in your community if you're not part of this. But God is doing things in order to bring his good news to people who do not know him. And so finally, we're going to have Paddy. He's going to share with us. We had a family day yesterday where we had about 150 kids in here, and about 100 adults. And it was an amazing time. We had children from the church, children from the community, adults from the church, adults from the community. And that's, and I'll go, you, oh, sorry, you go for it.
Yes,
that's all I was going to say. No, I just want to say a big thank you. You should have seen this place yesterday. It was incredible. It was so much. 150 kids running around this room. And rocket launching outside. And, oh, wow, it was exhausting. But it was great. And I just wanted to say a big thank you to all of you who are involved. And we will be doing future events. So if you didn't get involved in this one, we'll be doing it again in the future, and I hope you can come and help in that. We had face painting. Thank you to the face painters, the treasure hunts, the bracelet making, the table soccer, the people who are collecting money, people who are doing sumo wrestling, food and drink, anybody who was involved in that, rocket launching, creche, the parents who came and just hung out. Small groups helped. We came back. We brought the kids home afterwards on the bus, and you know, it was amazing. We got home and then we got back here, and the place was like just like it is tonight. It was incredible. It had all been cleared up in a half an hour that it took us to bring the kids home. If only it was like that every Saturday for Kids Club. It was amazing. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who showed up and pitched in, and it was a great day. And it was a big thing for me to see so many, you know, kids from the community, kids from the church, parents from the community, parents from the church. It's breaking down barriers, and the only way we can do that is getting to know each other and having events like this where we can just, you know, get to know each other, have a chat, have a cup of tea. And same again, John and Catherine have been really supportive in this whole thing, and myself and Catherine sat down and we brainstormed, but without all of the people who got involved, it wouldn't have happened, so thank you. And
what about that little boy?
There was a little boy on the bus on the way home, and he's only little, and he's big blue eyes, and he looked up at me and he said, Paddy, that was the best day of my life. And I just thought, wow, like, it was worth doing it just for him.
Yeah.
Just for him. What a, you know, it was great. And so thank you all.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Paddy. And here's your Oscar. And so what we're going to do now, before we move towards the end of the service, we're just going to show you a brief DVD of some of the things we're doing within the community. And I know for some of you it's not what you've been called to do, but it's what some people in the church have been called to do. And what I want to do is just to make sure there's a lot of things going on in the church that are equally valuable. Small groups are serving. There's so many things which we want to put a great deal of value on. And it's today we just want to be able to show something of what's going on in the community, just so that you can be invited in to what's going on, and so that you can pray and support us as we reach out to this community. So if I could ask for the lights to be taken down.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Oh God, there's a cry in our hearts for the nations. God, that you would raise up the fiery witnesses that proclaim this gospel to the ends of the earth. Bold prophets of fire. Raise them up, O God.
Does anyone believe that God can take a nation
salvation in a day. Does anyone believe God can take a city? A city in a day. Does anyone believe God can take a family? A family in a day. Does anyone believe God can take whole cities? Whole cities in a day.
Oh yes, God. You just walk through the shopping malls and the parking lots, and you tell them about the love of God. And you preach to them with the boldest love, lay hands on the sick and you heal their hearts. Send us, God.
You gotta let them know that things are gonna change, 'cause they're not like it was before. And this freedom in the new life, my God, it's a good life, makes them wish they would have known before. Oh God, that they would have known me before. A nation in a day. Does anyone believe that God can take a family? A family in a day. Does anyone believe that God can take whole cities?
Yeah.
Whole cities in a day.
You send me down to the heart of the city to testify and to prophesy for you. Every stronghold's coming down. Bring it down, God. Bring it down. Bring it down, God. So we speak to you, principalities of darkness. Yeah, loose these cities from your grip.
Starts, isn't it, from here? You've got to start somewhere, don't you? And we believe that God's called us to be to build a community here that reflects something of who Jesus is. And as we are learning slowly but surely to reach out to people, to show God's love, and in that you just see there's so many people from our church who are getting involved in all sorts of things. And so whatever God's called you to do, and the brothers, we'd love you to be involved with what we're doing here. We'd love to see people's giftings being activated. That's one of the things we've got, the small groups, which are helping people discern their giftings, to be in a safe place where they can learn to develop their gifts, opportunities to use their gifts. And so that's what we want to do, is just encourage and invite you to be part of what we're doing here. And also, if you're in your churches as well, do take the opportunity to get behind whoever's leading the church, because it's so great when you've got people behind you. It makes the job a lot easier. And it's amazing what God does when we say yes to Him. So before we finish, well, let's just take a moment now just to pray and to Lord, I thank you that you've called each one of us to be part of your community. Thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us to be a kingdom person, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you want to activate each one of us to fulfill our potential. I thank you, Lord, that you don't give us anything you don't equip us for. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of serving you and seeing transformed lives. Thank you, Lord, that as we serve others, that we get such a blessing from that. Lord, we want to thank you for all you're doing here. We want to thank you for all you're doing in the churches in the city. We want to pray, Lord, that you continue to raise up your people for the service of the kingdom. Pray, Lord, that you release your resources. And Lord, we want to see many people come to know you. And we know that you're going to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.